we don't do hair. Just okay. To clarify.
Okay. Yeah. Was I saying that hair?
I don't think you did. Just in case. No hair.
Just in case. But there are lots of hair places. But yes. So skin, all things beauty. Mm-hmm. Carrie Miequich, thank you so much for coming all the way down here. And I heart you.
I know. I heart you back. Jimmy Glitch.
Gitchy Miequich. Thank you so much. I would love to have you back. Once you release your secret items, I would love to know what that's all about.
Sounds like a plan.
Giga Wabaman. Thank you. Giga Wabaman. Listening to Medicine Bundle. Have a great weekend. Take care. Stay safe.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at KFAI.org. The community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudigee Gall, my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we have our friend Chase Iron Eyes on. He has a distinguished career fighting for the civil rights of Natives, including serving as director of Lakota People's Law Project, co-founding the Native news website Last Real Indians, and as a Standing Rock activist and work within the Native Lives Matter movement. Chase, thank you so much for stopping in and checking in with our crew out here. It's great to see you.
So good to see you, and it's my honor to be on, Robert.
Yeah, well, you're in the Twin Cities now, and what have you seen, and what is your vibe about what's happening here in the Twin Cities?
We're in unprecedented territory. Those of us in the Native community and those of us who are conscious Americans, conscious patriots, those of us who are paying attention, we see the various iterations and the exercise of brutal, corporate or state-sponsored violence. And my heart is with the people of Minneapolis, St. Paul. I was on the Pine Ridge Reservation and on the Standing Rock Reservation when our good sister lost her life. That's Renee Good. Mm-hmm. Lost her life to what many Americans and legal professionals feel is unlawful use of deadly force. And you've seen all the videos. I think there's enough out there that an objective and rational potential jury could we can all form our own opinion, but from what I was able to review, there's not a doubt in my mind that a potential jury or a potential prosecutor in and around the state of Minnesota, the city of Minneapolis, could bring charges against the shooter. And for me, what was extremely triggering for me after that illegal execution of Renee Good was the Red Lake woman, the woman from the Red Lake Nation, who is driving with her 20-year-old nephew. I believe his name is Roberto Beto Rodriguez. I don't remember the name of the woman, but to see the terror in Native people's faces, to see that woman pleading with anybody who was listening for assistance, for humanitarian aid, for help. She was flabbergasted and couldn't understand why armed, masked, jackbooted personnel is attacking her nephew. She's doing her best to comply. She's doing everything that you can do in those situations. She's doing it in a way that is non-threatening, and it's not returning the aggression. But as we can see, ICE is not interested in rooting out criminals or rooting out the less desirables or any other labels that the administration has. You can see clearly now that they are interested in targeting, illegally profiling non-white people. And because we have a duty, Native people, all of the personnel that's over at Powwow Grounds right now, everybody from the Indigenous Protector Movement, all of the multitude of organizations and people, human beings, brothers and sisters who are showing up and asserting their right to dignity and peace, we're connecting with everybody else in Minneapolis, St. Paul, because it's clear that they're blurring the lines between what is law and order. We as human beings, as American citizens, as tribal nations, as tribal nationals, we deserve peace and dignity. We deserve to be able to send our kids to school without fear that they're going to be abducted. And that's not just the Native community, but I've been on the ground since Saturday. And in that time, you can feel your cortisol levels rising when you come into Minneapolis, St. Paul, and you see the level of activity on your feed, on your social media feed. You see the various shifts in strategies that they're engaging in, that ICE is engaging in. Fortunately, when the 19th generation keeper of the sacred buffalo calf pipe, Orville Looking Horse, led a prayer the other day in front of Powwow Grounds, luckily nothing happened that challenged the sanctity of the event and the safety of the event. And I want to thank all of those brothers and sisters that were there to secure the safety of our spiritual leaders, our community leaders, and our people here. You know, I grew up on a reservation, but this is our homeland as well, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Our Native people who've made their lives and careers and invested in the safety, the sanctity, and the life, liberty, and happiness of their families. We all deserve that right to peace, but it's becoming more and more clear that we're going to have to stand up. Yeah. And it's against seemingly insurmountable odds. But what's different here, and I'm only comparing it to the No Dapple, Standing Rock. I didn't get an opportunity to come and be with the brothers and sisters who had to protect the safety of their families during the George Floyd uprisings. But the city is on edge, and we're here to provide legal support. We're here to connect with local counsel. We're here to connect with other strategy partners who can help us not only make sure that Native people are not targeted Because that is exactly what's happening. There's multiple instances of tribal members being apprehended, tribal members being snatched from the streets mm-hmm. for advocating for a safe interaction when ICE is approaching some of our, sometimes it's our houseless relatives. Yeah. It's people up and all throughout, you know, Franklin Avenue and the surrounding areas. And ICE is going out into the suburbs. They're in St. Cloud. They're in, yeah. in Rochester. They're everywhere else. They that's what the city of Minneapolis and our people must recognize, that we're contending with the highest levels of security and intelligence operations. But now we're normally accustomed to those operations being directed at others in other places across the world. For some reason, this administration and those brilliant people who are truly brilliant but also diabolical are executing the full weight and thrust of that security and state apparatus against our own people. So what is the rule of the law? What happens when ICE is breaking the law? What exactly. happens if ICE shows up at your home?
Hey, we are here with we're here with Chase Iron Eyes, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find. To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted. To those that bring us together. And to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people. To those that give up and those who do not care. To those who abuse themselves and others and those who revive again. To those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth.
To those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life. And those who exploit it, even our own.
To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better.
To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are here with Chase Iron Eyes. And, you know, Chase, I don't know if you know this, but Native Roots Radio started because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation that was going on there. So this is, we're on our 10th year, and I know all the great work that you've done. And as a matter of fact, I've seen you prior to Standing Rock, that you were up here when we were talking about the mascot issue. So I just want to say you've been in this fight for a long time, and thank you so much for being on.
Yes, sir. It's wild to think about, you know, we're aging gracefully, and I'm counting time in decades now, it seems. And I'm blessed to be here. I know that your listeners, those who have paid attention over time, are extremely important in how we continue to get information out and how we continue to create solidarity. Now more than ever, we need unity. We need unity. There are forces that are trying to exploit our fears, our insecurities, our prejudices, in all manner of that operation. That's an operation of the colony. And I don't think there's any place else where it's possible except Minneapolis. And I don't know the whole country that well, but I would have thought LA would be the place where, you know, just what is happening in Minneapolis, where people are willing to stand up. People are, we have to remember that it's a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. It's spiritual warfare. And so part of what is happening with the brilliant and diabolical deployment of violence, subjecting women and children and families to corporate-sponsored state violence, and also attacking psychologically, because the ICE agents are in masks, their identity is concealed, sometimes they don't have any identifying insignia. Mm-hmm. They have open, invisible firearms. They it's forced projection. And again, only veterans, military personnel is accustomed to this sort of operation. But now, I don't know why it's being inflicted on the American people. But those of us who remember George Floyd, who remember Standing Rock, who remember the Occupy movement, who remember Franklin Avenue in the 1960s, the American mm-hmm. Indian movement in the 1970s, all the way throughout our history. And this is lived history, lived memory that is, it constitutes who we are. We can see that indigenous nations and the spiritual dignity that we live with, that is extremely important to saving the United States of America, the Republic itself. The lawsuit that was filed, or it wasn't filed, but it was announced by Attorney General Keith Ellison, references the 10th Amendment. So what is that relationship between the federal government and states' rights? That's an old fight, the fight between the different levers of power at the federal level, or the federal, the state, the local, and even the tribal level. And normally, just like when the United States desegregated schools, the president of the United States had to commandeer a National Guard and ensure the safety of a young black girl to be able to attend school.
Right.
Well, that was for a good reason. Now it's bizarro world, and you have people in there. It's not just the president himself. It's the brilliance and diabolical people that are advising this activity. There's goals that they're not announcing on camera. There's a lot of money being made.
Yeah.
The security state is being ramped up, and they're trying to incite and goad Minnesota, Minneapolis, Portland, Chicago, anybody who they see as political opponents. They're trying to goad them into civil disorder. They're trying to goad them into using fire. For instance, you saw that agent provocateur trying to light an American flag on fire.
Right.
Like, what is that? We're carrying the American flag. We're carrying it right side up as well. Mm-hmm. Not only are we indigenous nationals, but we are true and real American patriots.
Mm-hmm.
We've defended this land on each side of every single conflict that's ever happened in our land. Before the United States of America was incepted and invented, up until this day. But normally, that level of military-style violence, which is being personnelled by untrained, poorly trained personnel that we don't know who these people are. Some of them could be Proud Boys or members of radical, fringe, racist, terrorist groups. That's who could be the personnel behind those masks. We don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chase, you know, one of the things that we like to talk about here is solutions. And I know you and I know Mud and all these groups in the Twin Cities have been talking about things. But what I appreciate you coming on the show is that we need to not back down. We need to rise above this. And they want us to give up.
It's shock and awe. And that's why it's a spiritual battle. They do. They want you. They're going to force project. They killed a woman. They killed an innocent woman in broad daylight so that they could send a message. You see videos of other agents of ICE saying, didn't you learn your lesson? Didn't you learn not to disobey us? So that's what's going on right now. And we can never give up. The future, the destiny of our families is relying on us. So I appreciate the fact that it is a lot to ask people to show up and defend our dignity, defend our American constitutional sovereignty. We have a right to peaceably assemble. We have a right to free speech. We have a right to be free from illegal searches and seizures. Yeah. And when ICE is filming, they're coming to your people's houses. And do they or do they not have a warrant? If they don't have a warrant, you don't have to let them in. You don't even have to answer the door. But here's the video of battering rams. You imagine how terrifying that is for a family with children inside? No. That is a dangerous situation. Again, they're going to try to goad us into violence, returning the same aggression and violence that's being instigated against us, or using fire to that. I've seen it before. They declare a civil disorder. Now they're charging people with all kinds of trumped up charges. Nope. Or maybe the pun's intended there, but they're trying to goad us into that activity. So we have to stay as strong as possible. We also need to be fully cognizant and adults about the conversation of what is happening to the United States when you have sitting governors. And you know what? Respect to Governor Waltz and to Mayor Fry. They're in difficult positions. Mr. Ellison, the Attorney General. But Minneapolis is ground zero right now. We don't know how long they're going to stay around, but I felt compelled to come here and see all of our people who are leading their lives and just trying to provide for their families. Yeah. That's all we've ever tried to do, is provide for our families, give our families a future and a destiny maybe that we didn't have when we were growing up. And now we find ourselves in this place where, hey, the free world could be relying on you.
Right.
Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, they are relying on you to show up, and we are showing up. They are showing up. I'm a visitor in this community, but I'm just here to get in where I fit in. I'm here to be useful in however I can be. And part of that is legal analysis. Part of that is the experience that I bring from the Occupy movement, the Standing Rock movement, Line 3, wherever we've had to meet and defend ourselves against what we see as corporate intrusion. An ever-present incursion or encroachment upon our constitutional rights, our human rights, and our tribal sovereign rights.
Yeah, definitely. So you saw a lot of planning, and there's planning going on, and there was, like, during George Floyd, and as you know, during Standing Rock, we are planning things because, like you said, Chase, this is ground zero, and the community is stepping up.
The community is stepping up more than ever, but they're also one of the impacts of having militarized presences amongst your civilian population. And you got to thank former governor Jesse Ventura for visiting Roosevelt High School, where normally it's not like, this is not a partisan issue. Like, it doesn't matter what party is in there. There's immigrants being removed, but now they've switched tactics, and there's no decorum in that diabolical, or however you see it, that effort. Now they're going into schools. Now they're going into churches. They're probably going into hospitals. They do not care. They are following native people. They don't know the difference. It's because we're all indigenous. You know, we were here before Mexico or Canada or the United States, and the communities are non-native brothers and sisters who are showing up, who are asserting their right to have safe neighborhoods. When those who are charged with enforcing the law are acting outside the scope of that law, that's when conscious Americans have to avail themselves of all knowledge of their rights, because it's not normal. We're not playing in the same field that we expect to be playing in. So stay strong.
Chase, we're going to get back to you again. Thank you so much for coming on. This was a great segment. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, sir.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting First Avenue's Best New Bands of 2025 in the First Avenue Main Room, Saturday, January 17th, featuring Schutz, Greg, LaSalle, Megan and the Birdwatcher, Mother Soki, Sally Ford, and Sophie Hiroko. Hosted by Diane Miller, Crystal Wax, Sean McPherson, and Silver We May. More information about First Avenue's Best New Bands of 2025 is available at first-avenue.com.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this is Robert Pilot, and we're still here with Chase. And Chase, before we get our next guest on, I want you to bring out some information on how people can find you on the interweb and things like that, and really see you are, because we got a lot of people watching us and listening to us on all the things, and they're really interested about that. So welcome back.
Yes, sir. You can find me at my name at Chase Ironize, but you know, that's always, if you want like a professional, go to Lakota Law, at Lakota Law. That's a legal organization, a public interest nonprofit legal firm that I've been affiliated with for a long time. It's going to be 20 years old this year, and I've been with it since 2011. But the Sacred Defense Fund is also another organization that I'm affiliated with. And If you're an attorney in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area and you want to work together, please reach out. Find a way to reach out. You can reach out to info@lakotalaw.org or just find me, get a message to me somehow. We're on the ground indefinitely. You know, duty calls. These moments only present themselves every so often. And we want, you know, ICE is bad for business. Mm-hmm. If we listened, I sat at Powwow Grounds just now, and we all together listened to Ellison, Attorney General mm-hmm. Ellison, and Mayor Fry, and the Mayor of St. Paul, and you know, we listened to that whole session, and it came to a part where Attorney General Ellison made it evident that they were not necessarily going to file that lawsuit. That first they were going to seek a temporary restraining order, some injunctive relief. And people in the room at Powwow Grounds were underwhelmed because Minneapolis wants ICE out of your city.
Right.
They want immediate action. They don't want a lawsuit. A lawsuit's good. I'm here. I'm an attorney. We're trying to figure out this civil, assertive rights strategy that we can pursue, at the same time making sure that none of our native people are being hemmed up by ICE and needing to be bonded out, needing criminal defense, needing legal representation. But at the same time, the Governor Waltz, our political leadership, needs to take full assessment of the severity and the gravity of the situation that they're in and use all measures. Minneapolis will back you up. Minnesota will back you up. ICE is bad for business.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to go to school. People don't even want to go to the grocery store.
Right.
The full economic impact. Look, we've already been through George Floyd. We want to protect Minneapolis, St. Paul. all of our property. And with ICE here, it's bad for business. And it's who knows what the sum total impact of ICE's presence here is going to be. But absolutely, what we know is that the grassroots people of Minneapolis, St. Paul want more from their political leadership. We need to continue to humanize each other and rely on each other, because we here right now can set the tone for what happens in the future as more of these transgressions, more of these illegal profiling, kidnapping, snatching, grabbing, hopefully no more illegal killings, detentions, maimings. I'm fortunate enough that I hate the smell of pepper spray and whatever chemicals they're using. It burns. It burns. I don't like the sound of LRADs and concussion grenades. The first time I heard a concussion grenade was just, it's traumatic.
Yeah.
And our families should not have to be subjected to that. So we should monitor what is happening at the political level. We should increase that positive pressure. Those of you who are running for office, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and other conscious and brave people here want more. They want ICE stopped.
Absolutely. Hey, one of the things that you brought up, Chase, and we're here with Chase Iron Eyes, was the actors that came in during George Floyd. We know we had people infiltrate us in Standing Rock. We got to keep our eyes open and you know, people, you know, burning down pharmacies that our community needed during George Floyd. It's just, we have to stay vigilant and keep our eyes open and keep the communication open double time.
That's absolutely right. I truly feel and I believe that they're trying to create civil disorder. And if ICE is here, they're gonna try to stay here until they create civil disorder. It takes all of the grace, all of the patience, all of your spiritual constitution not to lash out. It does. It takes it. I've seen it before. I've been there. And Minneapolis, St. Paul must stay strong. ICE must be removed from this city. The political leadership need to understand that their constituency would be happy with this. Their constituency demands it. And we need to return peace to Minneapolis, St. Paul. Everything is upended right now. If you read books about the Holocaust and books about fascism in Nazi Germany, the attitudes are the same. The level of force, hope it will never get there, because never again. We will never let something like that again happen. So those of us who see each other as human beings, spiritual relatives on this journey, we've got to make room for each other. We've got to forgive past transgressions, all of that stuff. We have to come together. We cannot give up, because other Americans are watching us. They watched ICE go to Chicago, and ICE had to leave Chicago. But maybe they met their quota. They went to Portland. They're going everywhere where they see political opposition. And I'm not into the binary, the forced binary of the red and blue. Even though I ran as a Democrat 10 years ago, I'm a different person now. I'm a different man now. And we get to see each other grow. I didn't know Native Roots was birthed through Standing Rock. I'm looking forward to coming back on your show. I'm gonna be in Minneapolis for the duration. I feel that those of us who can come in a self-sufficient way, you're encouraged to do so. There is a call out for people who can come to the city and to ensure that law and order is followed, to ensure that those who are purporting to be the arms and institutions of our Republican form of government do not violate the United States Constitution.
Right.
In enforcing those laws that they have, ICE has federal authority, but their authority is limited, and it certainly doesn't cover all of the brutalities,
right,
the excessive force that they're executing right now. It has to stop. And so I want to say that. Stay with it. Find a way to participate. Find a way to protect your families. Find a way. And if you need assistance, reach out. We all of the people who are organizing, from my perspective, from the Native American perspective, and even the legal perspective, the media perspective, mm-hmm, any way we can build alliances, we should do that, because our communities, right, deserve to be peaceable. We deserve to have business as usual. We deserve to send our kids to school and expect that they're going to come back without having to face, you know, these armed agents of terror and be traumatized for life. So I've never seen this level of violations. Of course, we've seen it before, but we're talking now about a completely different set of circumstances. They're not playing by the rules. Right. You know, you can expect, when somebody's willing to play by the rules, or if somebody has a conscience, then you can expect some decorum, mm-hmm, in competing interests. They don't have that here. We have to know exactly what our rights are. We have to know, can we stand on the sidewalks? Yes, we can stand in any public space. Yes, we can film ICE. If they pull us over in a car, ICE, mm-hmm, isn't there. They don't have the authority to execute traffic and other transport laws. And so you don't have to roll your window down. You don't have to open your door. You don't even have to talk to them. You could just tell them that you need your attorney. If ICE shows up at your house, and you can just, you can Google Know Your Rights, or contact us, and we'll make sure you have up-to-date information. We have two of our attorneys are digging into it right now. But there are other organizations out there who have published Know Your Rights. But it doesn't go as far as it needs to go. It needs to cover home invasions.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Minnesota doesn't have a stand your ground rule, but it has a protect the castle doctrine, where there's no duty to retreat inside your home. If there's an illegal home invasion and ICE coming to your house, and you're an American citizen, ICE comes to your house as an American citizen with a battering ram and is trying to break the door down and gain forcible entry, they need a warrant. They need a judicial warrant, not an administrative warrant that comes from ICE, but a judicial warrant that comes signed by a judge. And inside that warrant will describe the level of force that they can use to gain access. So we've never seen this before. We've never seen law and order going up to peaceful American citizens and completely disturbing their peace, completely destroying any comfortability, any level of being able to live their lives undisturbed and
Chase,
to continue on their own paths. It's wild.
Chase, thank you so much. We got Dr. Stately up next. Really, really appreciate you. We definitely will be in touch. Great to see you, and great to have you on.
I'll be back on, my friend, anytime.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, Dr. Stately. We'll be right back.
I'm Jane Fonda. and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, Native Roots Radio. Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately. Dr. Stately, I know you've been doing a lot of things happening down by the clinic and happening all over Minnesota, but I know you have a big responsibility with your clinic and what's going on Franklin Avenue. So I thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a crazy few days. Hey, today especially, I think.
Yeah.
It's like I'm a little bit of a for being a psychologist, I'm a little bit of an emotional mess today. So you know, I'm kind of fairly dysregulated. I've been smudging a bit and just got off the phone with a relative who's, you know, also dysregulated. And but I think that, you know, it's just that we live in such crazy, uncertain times. It's like, you know, I think the thing that's really, quite frankly, disturbing about all of this is like the number of people who I think who are probably the preponderance of whom are not necessarily people of color, anyway, people who are kind of like, you know, doing things like flooding the GoFundMe accounts for, you know, Jonathan Ross, who was shot in a good, in excess of $500,000, you know, just for, you know, out of a preponderance, or, you know, just to make sure that he has resources to protect himself if he gets prosecuted, right? It's like, and then the things that you see online, people saying, it's like crazy. But you know what? It's like, it's insane to me. Like, you know, I was talking to a relative of mine, and they're like, you know, they shot a white woman in front of everybody,
right,
on live TV, you know? So like, if you don't think that they can't do whatever they want to you, right?
Exactly.
And when I say to
they've
you,
moved the line.
Like, yeah, they moved the line. They moved the line, and you got the president and his entire cabinet, and you have, you know, all those, you know, MAGA supporters saying that's just fine, that's okay, right? Either either publicly saying it or by not saying anything about it and you know, decrying it, they're basically saying that this is okay,
right? Yeah,
and
yeah,
they're doing that to U.S. citizens, and you know. It's kind of scary because it makes me think about, like, you know, I remember, you know, back in the first administration when I was like, things were going on with, you know, that in that crazy time, and you know, it was COVID and I was stuck at home and I was watching, you know, just, you know, endless you know, just binge watching that television show, the one about the, oh God, I can't even think straight. I don't know, this how discombobbled I am today. You know, the one about the women. I want to say the Scarlet Letter, but I know it's not that, but it's basically the same thing.
The Golden Girls? Were you watching the Golden Girls?
The Golden Girls, you know. So, yeah. I like to see them kick down, what's her name's door? Betty White's door. But I mean, I think the point is like, you know, we keep reaching an inflection point in our society here where, like, you know, yeah, Handmaid's Tale. I'm thinking like, you know, people always think like, oh, this can't happen. It can't happen. It's not gonna happen anywhere. It can't happen in America, right? But here we have it happening in our eyes. A lot of people, you know, I think the thing that always makes me concerned about where we're at is, as a society, is like, you know, for several decades now, you know, the conservative Republican party has been purposefully sort of undermining laws, you know, stripping things away with purpose and intention, dummying America, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can erase history, and you can erase, and you can rewrite history, and you can revision it and make it sound like it's something else by doing all these things over that have happened to us over the last, 15, 20 years. You can create a whole group of a generation of people who don't understand their history at all, don't understand mm-hmm. that, like, where we came from and how we got to where we're at. And then, you make us unintelligent enough that they'll behave like sheep. They'll just comply. And they'll just,
It was interesting what Chase Iron Eyes, I don't know if you heard any of his, but he talked about how diabolical and how smart they are in what they're doing. And I never really thought of that take, but he's absolutely right. There's a game plan of this, and they're doing it. And the people that are responding behind their computers on how it's a great thing is a very small but very loud audience out there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so proud of Minnesota fighting back.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's just, I went out on the protest the other day in South Minneapolis with my children and my family and a bunch of folks from my community. And, I have plantar fasciitis, a pretty severe case of it. And God, I woke up the next day and I couldn't even barely walk. I couldn't barely move. But, I thought it was really important to show up and, and demonstrate and be like, this is just not okay. And, the very public, killing of Renee Good is disturbing, just to its very core, it's disturbing. But what was hard for me over the last several days is like seeing and witnessing and hearing people from our community being stopped,
mm-hmm.
Harassed, some people being pulled from their vehicles.
Right.
The news that they had abducted and detained a descendant from Red Lake here in South Minneapolis, I guess Robbinsdale. And then also there was, there was a lot of ICE activity on Franklin Avenue, the Cultural Corridor, last Friday. And, my son is, construction worker. He's a carpenter apprentice working in the construction project in front of our clinic. And like one of the things that he was dysregulated, he was scared. He didn't want to go back to the job site, came over to have lunch with me. And then he didn't want to walk back by himself. And I couldn't walk him at that moment because I had a meeting. I said, well, just stay here. You stay right here. Stay close to me. And there's been enough of this activity over the last couple of days that I've just been like really like, I was supposed to go to on a 3-day trip down to New Mexico this week for work, but I canceled my flight because I want to stay close to my children, close to my home and my family, and close to the clinic. I want to be nearby so I can be of service and help in whatever way I can.
We got 30 seconds left, Dr. Stately. Thank you so much for coming on. Any last comments on people taking care of their psyche and their mental health?
Well, I mean, like I was just talking to my nephew and I said, take out your pipe and pray, I think so take out some medicine, pray, smudge yourself, put out tobacco, call on your ancestors, call on our ancestors for support, for protection. Those things are important to do. Remember that we have some things we can do. And then also, there's a lot of information that Chase shared with people, information about what to do, how to respond, know your rights, and just stay vigilant, stay focused and stay vigilant, stay awake.
Thank you so much.
Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much, Dr. Stately. We will be talking to you soon. Yeah. Thank you for everything you do for our community. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Support for KFAI comes from the Dakota, presenting the Yellow Jackets, Wednesday, January 21st. For 44 years, the Yellow Jackets have brought rock, fusion, and R&B to the world of jazz. The hallmark of the Yellow Jackets have always been exploration and reinvention. To their true nature, their latest release, Fasten Up, continues that tradition. The Yellow Jackets are all about self-discovery, continuing their jazz journey while challenging themselves along the way. More information about the Yellow Jackets at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. We have our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, on here, and I'm just going to open up this here. Hey, thank you, State Senator, for coming. And I just have to say, you know, we all have to take care of ourselves, and I really, really appreciate you coming on and talking to our listeners and the people viewing us on Facebook, YouTube, Blue Sky X, and sure there's other ones I can't remember, but you know, we're all over Turtle Island here. And again, people really reach out to me and talk about how they really enjoy your commentary on the show. So I just want to say a big peeny gigi. Thank you so much for coming on, and what a year we've already, we've had, and it just keeps going and going.
Yeah, matake ape, everybody. It's been, I mean, if we want to talk about 2026, holy shit, right? And it's only the ninth. But if we want to think about, yeah, in the last 12 months, it has been nothing short of horrific. Starting with a legislative session like no other. And we always want to say, you know, this one is the most unique or most challenging, or we'd love to say this was the easiest, best, most collaborative we've ever had. But last year, with just a number of bizarre situations where the House was evenly sorted out by Democrats and GOP, they ended up having to co-govern. And you have to remember that the GOP was refusing to seat a DFL member that won their election. And so they basically stormed the House and took over. And our GOP, our DFL members, our Democratic legislators, refused to come in until they seated our member, which they finally eventually did, and had agreements on how to co-govern. And then in our Senate here in Minnesota, we had a one-person majority. But due to the a unique situation again, we ended up co-governing for a very short time, which was, it actually went fine in the Senate. We did it, and we did it well. But that was the beginning of a legislative session that was very difficult. And we saw a lot of legislators posturing themselves, giving out a lot of misinformation. We're talking about fraud in Minnesota. Yes, we have had terrible fraud in Minnesota. Unfortunately, a lot of our commissioners and our agencies did not have the tools to counteract, legally counteract a lot of the fraudulent activity. You know, like in Feeding Our Futures, the Department of Education realized early on something was really fishy, and they stopped payment to that organization. That organization took them to court, and it was a judge, a not Democrat judge, that said, no, you have to keep paying them. And so they had to do that. They didn't have subpoena powers. They didn't have any powers to go in there and investigate what was happening. And so it took a while before that finally happened. And in that year, we, and I, when I say we, the Education Finance Committee, which I am a chair of, we created a position to oversee those sort of things that gave them that subpoena power. So these are the things that started out. And then, of course, we had the horrible, horrible assassination of Leader Hortman and her husband, Mark, and the attempted assassination of Senator Hoffman, his wife, and his daughter. And it just kind of, you know, went from bad to worse the whole year. We were hoping for a better year, but here, you know, between the shooting of our legislators, then we had that horrific shooting at Ascension School, where two children, 10 and 8 years old, were killed and others were injured. And then now we are under the siege of ICE. And I can't even begin to tell you all the horrible stories that are going on. Of course, there was the situation at Roosevelt High School, but it's been really a crummy year.
Yeah, and it's got to be hard to do your job, and you have to be alert on all these issues for your constituency. What do you do to keep yourself sane? And I ask this, you know, the last few days especially, what are you doing besides hopefully hydrating and loving your grandbabies?
I would say loving my grandbabies are probably the number one thing that keeps me grounded and keeps me real. You know, they are our future. And I just think about sort of the responsibility is overwhelming. I'm not gonna lie. And we don't have the powers to kick ICE out. Just yesterday, my state representative, Erin Cagle, bless her soul, confronted ICE agents that were abducting a community member. And she identified herself as an elected official, a state representative. She demanded they show her their warrant, asked their names, their badges. I mean, they had this really fakey looking badge on them. She recorded the whole thing. You know, those are the people that are, and so many community members that are out there patrolling and looking for these kind of situations to intervene and demand answers for. There are so many peaceful resistant groups out there in my district. Probably I'm a member of 6 or 8 or 10 of them, but they're patrolling our communities. Every morning I have gone to the schools to patrol, to help kids safely cross the street and watch for any situations. Being active is really important to me as well. We had a group that met last night to create packets with whistles and know your rights information to share. And they told me the first time that they put together these packets, 6 people were there. Mm. Last night we had over 60 people there.
Yes.
So being in community and recognizing that, you know, as a policymaker, as a state elected official, I'm not alone in this. That we aren't alone in this, that the community is behind us. And we know that not everybody, you know, supports what's happening. ICE coming in, undocumented members of our community, get them out, those sort of things. I hear a lot of that too.
Right.
But really and truly, it's the power of resiliency and community that recharges me. And so, you know, there are times where I don't want to get up. I don't want to get outside. I don't want to have to go and hear another meeting about what's happening. I just got off of a Zoom about the money that Trump is withholding for childcare and care of vulnerable adults and those with disability. You know, you think, oh, can I just spend a Friday afternoon in peace and quiet? But then you start talking with everyone and you realize the cause and effect and how deep it runs in our communities. And I just think, okay, I can do this. I can do this. If there are other people there to work with me, I can do this.
That's awesome. Hey, one of the things we talk about too, State Senator, is how people should approach this. And I know there's going to be protesters, and I'm an old protester. And as you know and remember, this show was started because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation out there. And we started this show. But everyone needs to tread lightly.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting.